Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday, April 4th, 5:27 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets mixed to higher this morning. May corn futures up a half cent at 432 and a half last trade. May soybeans up a half at 1182 and three quarters. May Chicago wheat down a half at 555 and a half. May Kansas City wheat up 2 3/4 at 583 and a quarter. May spring wheat up 5 1/2 at 645. Let's start off with this Russia story.
So Russia is restricting some grain exports. Two grain-carrying vessels belonging to Aston, a major Russian agricultural exporter, have been halted. Russian officials stopped the ships due to quality issues. This is the second major exporter whose shipments have been restricted. According to a source familiar with the situation, last month there was an increase in complaints from importing countries about Russian grain quality. Russia's grain exports are forecast to reach 65 million metric tons this season. U.S. wheat futures rallied on the news yesterday and traded higher early this morning.
Early this morning, we did have a higher trade. We've peeled back since then. So the story, I guess, is that, you know, Russia's been flooding the globe with cheap wheat, and now they're talking that maybe some of it isn't quite as high of quality as it should be. There are already some contradictory headlines this morning at 4:17 a.m. Central Time. The Reuters headline read, Russian grain trader Aston denies some shipments were halted. So there's some back and forth here. I don't know that these are huge amounts, but you know, you throw those words in any combination, Russian wheat curb exports, you're going to see a little bit of buying interest emerge. Russia is the top exporter of wheat on the planet. They're projected to account for 24% of all wheat exports this year. The wheat market, yeah, we rallied yesterday, I think partially on this news, and we were up a little bit overnight. I'd like to see this May Kansas City contract above 595 today. I think that would look a little bit better from a technical standpoint. So is this going to be enough to help the wheat market dig itself out from the hole that it's been in for a long time? I don't know if it's enough. I hope it is.
Chinese corn and wheat production is forecast to increase next season. According to a USDA Foreign Ag Service report released Tuesday, corn production for the 24-25 season is expected to increase compared to this season due to higher yields and a rise in corn acres. Chinese corn imports are expected to decline next season to 20 million metric tons. The decline is attributed to China's promotion of domestic production. Next season's wheat production is slated to rise by 1% as a result of higher yields. Wheat acres are forecast to remain unchanged, and feed production over in China is anticipated to decrease due to a reduced demand from the livestock sector.
The headline that the news wires printed was that USDA's ag office in Beijing reduced or is working with a lower import number for China corn next year. So this year, USDA official is 23 million metric tons. This Beijing office, which is not USDA official, is talking 20 million perhaps for the new crop marketing year, which again, doesn't begin until this fall. In terms of domestic consumption, the Beijing office is projecting record consumption. So despite all of the negative economic headlines you've heard out of China, they're still talking record Chinese corn usage domestically. Here's the thing, is that they've got a record crop penciled in, and we see this same sort of thing with USDA in the United States. China plants corn about the same time we do. It's like a second half of April largely, and this is just a projection. You know, they could run into weather problems, and if they were to run into weather problems or a short crop, but you've still got record or very high usage, it could very easily shift the import situation drastically. It could go from 20 million up to 30 million for all I know. So these are just places to start. They've got a lot of projections here, reduced imports, but also a monster crop and monster usage. So I don't know if this is an end all be all. I think it's just a starting point, just as the USDA is kind of starting here with some of the projections for the United States.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you sure need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about your video with Matt Bennett yesterday?
Matt was on yesterday. We talked about a lot of things. We talked about weather and planting pace and that sort of thing, and why U.S. weather is still the biggest deal out there when it comes to corn prices. You know, all the news, a lot of the news is negative right now. We've got this bearish looking fundamental situation. We've got these bearish looking balance sheets. But I'll tell you what, U.S. weather still the biggest deal, and you run into the right or wrong sort of weather during the growing season, and the market will absolutely react. We ran through some balance sheet examples and kind of illustrated why that's the case. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, go to standardgrain.com. You can sign up this morning. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. There's no other fee. There's no other obligation. Nobody tried to sell you anything else. There's a brand new premium video every single business day. Our morning email, which is jam-packed full of charts, graphics, info, goes out at 5 a.m. Central Time. We're out super early every single business day. Give this deal a shot, guys. Today's premium video that I'm going to blast out is about the funds and soybeans and what the funds do year in and year out in the soybean market and what you need to know about it. Check that deal out this morning, guys.
U.S. ethanol production increased last week. Weekly output of 1.07 million barrels was up 1.8% on the week and up 7% versus the same week last year. Ethanol stocks were pegged at 26.4 million barrels. The print was up 1.2% compared to the previous week and up 3.5% compared to the same week last year. Implied gasoline demand was up 6% compared to the previous week and up 1% versus the same week last year. On average, over the last 4 weeks, implied U.S. gasoline demand is up 1.5% versus the same period last year.
That's an excellent print for ethanol production. That's the a record high print seasonally. So for this particular week of the calendar year, that's the best ethanol production number we've ever seen. Stocks are very high, but will very likely start to draw down during the second half of April and into May. That would be a normal seasonal pattern. So, you know, there's not a lot of great things we can say about demand, but ethanol and soybean crush, also the processing side domestically, is where we've got some big positive items here as it relates to demand.
The largest U.S. producer of fresh eggs is exterminating 3.6% of its total flock due to the bird flu. Calmaine Foods has halted production at a facility in Texas after the bird flu was discovered in its chickens. About 1.6 million laying hens and 337,000 pullets were destroyed due to the virus. Following the discovery of the bird flu in a Texas dairy herd late last week, more confirmed cases have been reported in dairy cattle in Oklahoma, Michigan, New Mexico, and Idaho. The cattle markets continue to crumble due to the situation. Since Monday, feeder cattle futures have lost 653 per hundredweight, and live cattle have declined by 463 per hundredweight.
So the live cattle market in this June contract did post some fresh lows yesterday. It closed off of the lows, and feeder cattle did something very similar. So it doesn't look like we're out of the woods. I threw a hog chart in here too. The hog market doesn't seem to care about this at all. Mackenzie, what are your thoughts on the cattle market? Is this just a sell-off for the sake of a sell-off, or is the trade really concerned that the consumer is going to back off of beef?
I think the trade is genuinely concerned. In my opinion, I feel like the cattle markets have somewhat of a bottomless feel right now. Nebraska and both Tennessee have basically imposed more regulations on dairy cattle movement when it comes to this bird flu situation. If we get this bird flu in our beef cow herd and we have to restrict movement of like feeder cattle, fat cattle, that would just be incredible. So yeah, I think this is bigger. This is bigger than we realize, as I mentioned in recent days. But again, we have to remember that this doesn't impact the quality of the meat, the milk. These cattle recover, and there is there's very little risk that we understand to humans.
Okay, so if you're a fund trader and you're just speculating, are you going to stay long the market?
Oh goodness.
For now, the answer is no, because they're
feeling bad. Yeah. So right. No.
It's a trade. It's a trade right now. No matter the fundamentals. What's up next?
So the Federal Reserve is in no hurry to cut interest rates. On Wednesday, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said recent inflation data, which was higher than expected, did not alter the Fed's plan to cut rates this year. However, he also said that before rates can be reduced, the Fed needs more assurance that inflation is declining toward 2%. Powell also stated that the Fed's policy decisions are independent of politics. The March jobs report will be released this Friday, which will provide the Fed more insight into the fight against inflation. The report is expected to show that 200,000 jobs were added last month, down from 275,000 in February, but still strong by historical measures.
Paul, with some safe-ish comments here. We're still expecting rate cuts later this year. I'll tell you one thing about the Fed. They talk too damn much. Like, you've got a different Fed speaker or president talking every single day about the rate situation. It's Atlanta Fed president said this. Dallas Fed president said this. Jerome Powell said this. It's too much noise for the market, and the market does react to it. But I just feel like sometimes they should maybe just keep their mouth shut. I don't know. What did cattle do yesterday?
So as I mentioned, the cattle markets dropped again on Wednesday. Live cattle closed an average of 74 cents lower. Feeder cattle futures closed an average of 205 lower. They weren't huge losses, but again, losses nonetheless. Despite reductions in slaughter week after week, box beef continues to trend lower. Choice ended the day at 301.30. That was down 286. And select ended the day at 296.92. That was down 207.
Outside markets pretty quiet on Thursday. U.S. dollars off just a little bit. Stocks are marginally higher. Bonds off just a little bit. Crude oil is down 15 cents. And the May WTI at 85.28. Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you Friday.